Okay.
So, two weeks ago, we began Masechet Megillah, the third chapter of Masechet Megillah, which is right here in the middle of this page. And the Gemara had associated the reading of the Megillah with the reading of the Torah. And what I told you was that a lot of the laws about Torah reading are going to be here in this chapter. Almost all the laws about Torah reading will be here in this chapter of Masechet Megillah. But what's interesting is that the Gemara, take a look where it says Gimel Mem for Gemara right on the first page. You see it? It's on the third wide line on the bottom. Tana Masha'en Kein Batorah. The Mishnah, which was all about the reading of the Megillah, does not apply to the Torah reading. What the Gemara does not do, and whatever the Mishnah says, we read that last week, we're not going to go into it again now. But the Gemara does not do is what you might expect the Gemara, again, is not an organized book, it's kind of stream of consciousness. Tell us all about how do you know there's a mitzvah to read the Torah? How do you know you're supposed to read the Torah? That, you know, if I were writing a book and I wanted to introduce the Torah reading, the laws of Torah reading, the way, you know, if you open up the Rambam's laws of Torah reading, or if you open up, you know, any kind of modern book where they write about Torah reading, they say, well, here, this is how, you should read the Torah on Shabbat, on Monday and Thursday, on Shabbat afternoon, on these other days. So where does that all come from? What do you think? Anybody know where the Torah reading comes from?
Ezra.
So Ezra, what do you know about Ezra? What happened?
Didn't he institute the reading?
All of them or only some of them?
Mondays and Thursdays.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, so what else?
Shabbos, Monday and Thursday.
Yeah, what about Shabbos morning?
I don't think he said anything about that.
Not Ezra, yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody know anybody else? So it's actually all from a passage in Bava Kamma on page 2. It's double-sided. Page 2. I put an arrow in the beginning. Asara takanot. There's a braita that tells the following thing. Asara takanot tiken Ezra. Ezra made 10 establishments, 10 enactments. The first one, shekorin b'mincha b'shabbat. Ve'korin b'sheini u'v'chamishi. You read the Torah on Shabbos Mincha and on Monday and Thursday. That's what Ezra said. V'danin b'sheni v'chamishi, and you also hold the court, the Beis Din holds court on Monday and Thursday. Also mechapsim b'chamishi b'shabbat. And you do laundry on Thursday. You know why you do laundry on Thursday?
It's clean for Shabbos.
Yeah, why not Friday?
It takes too long.
There's a lot of stuff to do on Friday. There's too much to do on Friday. So laundry should be on Thursday. V'ochlin shum be'erev Shabbat. Does anybody have a special custom to eat garlic? Anybody eats garlic on Friday nights? A lot of people eat garlic on Friday nights, and that's because Ezra made a special enactment. You should eat garlic on Friday nights.
And why?
Do
we know?
Yeah. The Gemara explains it later on. We're not learning this Gemara. I didn't look ahead. But the, here, 1 second.
Yeah, roasted garlic on challah.
Yeah, it's very, very good. 1 second. We'll find that one. Here it is. Danin. Because it is a natural aphrodisiac.
Garlic.
Yes.
Garlic.
I assume it was so that no one sits next to you.
Yeah. That's what it says here. Mishum ona.
That would be wrong.
Yeah. No. Because it's a special mitzvah.
Close to you.
There's a special mitzvah to have relations on Friday night, and so to encourage that.
You eat garlic.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. Our cultural current contemporary.
That is not what we think about garlic, right? Okay. If everybody eats garlic, then it doesn't smell bad. It doesn't affect you. And roasted garlic is not nearly as bad as raw garlic. Okay. So let's go to the next little bracket that I put here where we talk about Shiyu Korin B'Sheni V'Chamishi. You see the next bracket? V'Shiyu Korin B'Sheni V'Chamishi. V'Ezratiken? The Gemara says, Ezra established you should read the Torah. Ve'am meikara havamitkana. It was already established by Moses.
Oh, sure.
Meikara hava mitkenai. Used already a long time. Meikara means a long time ago, before. It was already established. The Tanya tells in a brighter. Vayelchu shloshet yamim bamidbar velo matzmu maim. They went 3 days in the desert and they didn't find any water. Dorshei reshumot amru ein maim ela Torah. Our tradition is that ein maim ela Torah. The water, Torah is likened to water. They went 3 days and couldn't find water. Really, it's because they went 3 days without the Torah. Because now more than 3 days had gone by since the giving of Torah at Sinai. Shene Emar, and now they have a verse to prove to us that Torah is likened to water. Hoy kol tzameh lechul amayim. Whoever is thirsty should go to the water. And this is from the book of Isaiah, from Sefer Yeshayahu. And in that case, it means Torah. It means whoever's thirsty for God's word should go find God's word. Whoever's thirsty goes to drink water. Now the Gemara says, Kevan shalchu shloshet yamim belo Torah nil'u. Since they went 3 days without Torah, they felt empty. They felt thirsty for the Torah. Amdu nevim shebenehem. The prophets among them stood, v'tiknu lehem shiu korin b'shabbat, and established that they should read the Torah on Shabbat. U'mafsikin b'echad b'shabbat, and they don't read on Sunday. V'korin b'sheni, they read again on Monday. U'mafsikin shlishi v'revi'i, don't read on Tuesday, Wednesday. Korin b'chamishi, read again on Thursday. Mafsikin erev Shabbat, and don't read Friday. Kedei shelo yalinu shlosha yamim belo Torah, so that they don't go 3 days without Torah. Okay? What do you think? So what is the establishment?
I thought that they established the public reading on those other days. If people missed it on Shabbat, that was the reason that they...
No. We don't read the whole Torah reading on Monday and Thursday.
I know, but I thought it was supposed to part of, I know you don't hear the whole Torah reading, but yeah. I thought that had something to do with...
No, the only reason why we read the Torah reading on Mondays and Thursdays is so that we don't go 3 days without a Torah reading.
Really?
You can't go 3 days without... That's why, you know, if it's Chol HaMoed or something like that, we don't read the Shabbat Torah reading, or if it's Hanukkah, we're not going to read the Shabbat Torah reading on Monday and Thursday. So long as there is a Torah reading on Monday and Thursday, it doesn't matter what that Torah reading is. And then the Gemara goes on to explain that originally
people couldn't make it to Yerushalayim or something.
No. It's just this. So the Gemara goes on to explain that that originally it was only one aliyah, which means three psukim, and so Ezra established was that it's three aliyot and 10 psukim. Now, our practice here and in most synagogues is to read the whole first aliyah of every parsha, but really the original establishment is to read just 10 psukim. And in places that follow the custom of the Gaon of Vilna, that's why sometimes if Ra'anan has a sitter, that's the Vilna Gaon sitter. I use the same sitter. But in the back, the Torah readings only have 10 psukim from every Torah reading. So sometimes it's he stops and we're like, oh, Ra'anan, you got to keep going. Which is great. In the Rav Soloveitchik shul, they only did 10 psukim every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha. Ritual committee can take that. Anyway, what's not clear, what is clear is that there was some kind of enactment in the days of Moshe, and then again in the days of Ezra, to read the Torah. What's not clear is what exactly was the enactment. What do you mean you have, who has to read the Torah? Who? Everybody? Some people? What needs to happen exactly? So, to do that, to explain that a little bit, we're going to look at two contradicting passages in the Gemara. Take a look on page 3. Again, these Gemaras will help us understand what exactly the establishment was. These Gemaras and an analysis therein will help us understand what it was. So, this is the Gemara. This is the Halacha. This is not me talking. This is what the Gemara says, the Halacha. Everybody ready? Page 3, the bracket. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna. Rava Bar Rav Huna said, Kevan Sheniftach Sefer Torah. The minute you open up the Sefer Torah, Asur Lesaper, you're not allowed to talk. Everybody got that? Okay.
Got it.
Good. Afilu Bidvar Halacha. Even if you're learning Torah, even if you're talking Torah, not allowed to talk. And then they derive it from a verse. Rava Bar Rav Huna attributes it to the following verse. There's actually a typo in the Gemara. It says, Uvefotcho. It should be Uchefotcho. That should be a chaf. The pasuk is a chaf. Uchefotcho amduko le'am. In the verse in Nehemiah, it says that when Ezra opened up the Sefer Torah, when he opened it up, everybody stood up. And the rabbis now interpret, Ve'ein amida ela shtika. Standing up means they were quiet. Not only did they stand up, but if you stand up, it also means you're quiet. Shene'emar, how do I know that? Also from a verse, Shene'emar, Ve'ochalti ki lo yedabru ki amdu lo anu od. It says in the book of Job that they didn't talk, they stood up, and that's why they didn't talk. So standing up means you don't talk. Good. Rabbi Zeira says it's derived from a different verse. Rabbi Zeira Amar, Rav Chista Mehacha. Ve'oznei kol ha'am el sefer ha'torah. Rabbi Zeira says that Rav Chista derived it from a different verse, namely, also from the book of Nehemiah. But the verse says that the ears of all the people were towards the Torah, which means that their ears were not towards conversation, but towards the Torah. Okay. Either way, neither of them disagrees with the halacha, right? The halacha is the minute you open up the Torah, not allowed to talk. But and then they disagree only on which verse it's derived from, which may or may not be significant. But the point is that in terms of the actual halacha, neither of them disagrees, right? Good. Turn the page. Page 4. The Gemara in Tractate Brachot has more laws about respecting the Torah reading. This will be the Daf Yomi, I guess the third week in January or something like that, when they start Brachot again. But look in the bottom and look at what Rav Sheshet used to do. Starting from this area, it's all about the laws of the Torah, about respect of the Torah reading, and not also that you're not allowed to talk during the Torah reading. Rav Sheshet mehader apei vegaris. Rav Sheshet used to turn his face, look away, and learn Torah during the Torah reading. Amar Anan Bedidan. He said, I'm doing my thing. Ve'inehu Bedidahu, and they're doing their thing. They can read the Torah. I'm going to sit here and read my, Jonathan Sacks essays or whatever. That's the stereotypical modern Orthodox thing to be reading during the Torah reading.
I'm reading Sarna.
Sarna, whatever. Okay. So what do you think? Was Rav Sheshet doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
I don't know if it's right or wrong. It's the wrong way to approach it.
Yeah. What do you think, Stan?
I thought I had heard or learned over the years that the obligation to read Torah is for the community.
Wait a minute. You're ahead of us. Hold on. I'll get to that. One thing that is important to note, and one thing that I like to do in these Talmud classes, there are ideas that are in the psyche of committed Jews, but you don't know where those ideas come from. That idea comes from this. Okay? Stan, you're on to something. Hold on. Yeah.
So I've thought about it, and when I see people...
Just in the last 2 minutes or so?
No. Oh. When I actually...
in general.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was a long time ago that someone used to bring his... Are you thinking of Marty?
I'm thinking of Joel.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, so that's really interesting. he's studying, you know,
yeah,
deeply.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, so a guy like Joel knows the Torah backwards and forwards. And so reading the Parsha one more time may not trigger deep study for him, but this is really got him engaged and in deep study, and he's clearly really deeply engaged. So I said, my thought was, if you're going to do that, it's a reasonable alternative.
Okay, but how does that not contradict what the Gemara said? That once the Torah is open, I'll have to talk.
He's not talking.
He's not talking. He's not paying attention to the Torah reading.
Well, but it only says you're not allowed to talk.
Okay.
I think this would be fair to Joel. I think he was following along with the partial reading. He studied during the rabbi's drasha. That I remember quite distinctly.
Okay. So, but wait, Mitch said something interesting. Mitch said it's not about not paying attention. It's about talking. That's one possible resolution, right? I'm going to share with you that all the medieval commentaries thought that this practice of Rav Sheshet contradicted. And then they all came up with a solution. But Mitch came up with a resolution. The Gemara wasn't talking about studying. It was talking about talking. Anybody have a different resolution? Okay. So let's start exploring these things. So take a look at the next page. Page 5. So in the early second millennium, in the early 1000s, Rabbi Yitzchak Alfasi wrote the first summary of the Gemara with an eye towards the halachic conclusions. The Rif, as he became known, which is also my initials, Roy Yom Tov Feldman. In college, some people called me the Rif. No, it's okay. But
we could call him the Rack.
But the riff took out all the debates, and it's the Riff, and he put in just the final halachic conclusion. But in some places, he also added some commentary, and this is one of those places. Page 5 at the top. You're with me? Where it says Rav Sheshet, not the one on the right, the middle part. The Riff is the middle section. Rav Sheshet avamade rapei. This is the Riff on tractate Brachot on Rav Sheshet. Let's see what he says. Rav Sheshet avamade rapei vegaris. Amaranan bedidan veinu bedidahu. Quotes the Gemara. Rav Sheshet used to turn away his face and learn. He said, "I'm doing my thing; they're doing their thing."
I love that.
Ve'amur rabanan, and the rabbis said, "This is now his commentary." Rav Sheshet de Torato Umanuto. Rav Sheshet was allowed to do this because Torah was his profession. Torato Umanuto means Torah was his full-time occupation. Mm. So, according to the Rif, everybody should be listening to the Torah reading unless Torah is your occupation. If Torah is your occupation, you have a special exemption, not only from the Israeli military, but also from listening to the Torah reading on Shabbos morning. You can learn instead. He continues, "Aval le'orot le'adam she'shoel lefi sha'a," but to tell people who's just asking to tell regular people to do that, "O le'faresh davar," somebody who's asking a specific question or to explain something, "asur." You're not allowed to. Da'amar Rabba Bar Avuna, kevan shenivtach sefer Torah in Masechet Sota. That's our first Gemara that we looked at. Rabba Bar Avuna said that the minute you open up the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to talk, afilu b'dvar halacha, even if you're teaching Torah. Okay? So that's the first resolution, right? We're going to see, I think, 5 resolutions I counted. Resolution number 1, you really should be listening to the Torah reading. There's a special dispensation made for people who are Torato Umanuto, people whose full-time profession is learning Torah. The Rif actually has another explanation on the next page. In Masechet Megillah. He quotes on the bottom here. You see on the bottom? He quotes Rav Sheshet again. before the part that I marked off, right? If you look right before the part that I marked off, he quotes Rav Sheshet again from Tractate Brachot. And then he writes, Vechatav Baal Halachot. The Bahag was the Baal Halachot Gdolot. He's an early medieval Ashkenazi commentary. And he wrote, Vehanei Mile Deika Asarad Etzaitin Lesefer Torah. That's when there are 10 men listening to the Torah reading. Aval, Leka Asarad Etzaitin. Lo. But if there aren't 10 men listening, then you can't do that. So what does this mean?
If you can count 10 other people listening.
If there's 10, the only rule is not that everybody has to listen. The rule is that there needs to be a minion listening to the Torah reading. And so long as there's a minion, you can do whatever the heck you want to do. Okay, maybe you learn Torah, whatever you want to do. Okay, what do you think about that?
But not talk.
That sounds reasonable.
Okay, that's another option, right? That's the Bahag, where the Rif disagrees. He says, Verabav Tachrini, other rabbis, you see where I said Rabav Tachrini? Other rabbis, I'm on the last line now. Prikila Ekushia, they resolve this contradiction. Prikia, by the way, just language. Priki Lefarek. What does Lefarek mean? To take apart. To resolve a contradiction is Lefarek Tekushia. Prikila Ekushia. וכאמרי דווקא כגון רב ששת תתורתו אומנותו. אבל כולי אלמה, לאו. Only רב ששת, because it's professional occupation, but everybody else, no. And then he says, that's what I think. And obviously that's what he thinks, because later on, right, this is in Tractate Megillah, in Tractate Brachot, he only wrote that one. So far we've seen two resolutions. Right? One resolution, you really should listen to the Torah reading, but... it's your occupation, no. That then you have a special exemption. Second resolution, if there's 10 men listening, that's Bahag. The Bahag, Baal Halachot Gdolot, thought that as long as there's a minion listening, that's all that matters. And you can read on your own afterwards. Go back to the Rif on page 5. Back to page 5. Rabbeinu Yonah was a Spanish commentary on the... who commented on the Rif. And he's printed here on the sides of the Rif. Actually, for many, many years, in Sephardic circles, they studied the Rif instead of studying the Gemara. They did not study the Gemara, they only studied the Rif because they, there is a long-standing Sephardic tradition that you study the practical halakha and everything else, you know, that you study Torah specifically to know what to do, to know the halakha. So it's not as relevant to study the rejected opinions. Great story. When Rav Ovadia Yosef of blessed memory came to visit Yeshiva University, he gave a shiur. Now, Yeshiva University is not a Sephardic-style yeshiva. It's a Lithuanian-style yeshiva. They study every possible opinion and try to figure out the logic of every possible opinion, which is called lumdus in general. Lumdus means trying to figure out the logic of every possible opinion. Even if that opinion is rejected, he's still trying to figure out what the opinion is about. So he gave a 10-minute shiur about in lumdus, like he said this and this and this. He said, now that you know that I can do that, let me give you a real Torah shiur. And he just went a halacha, practical halacha shiur after that. He used stronger terms. Now that you know that I can do bittul Torah, that I can waste everybody's time, let me teach you halacha. Okay. Obviously, we take the Ashkenazi Lithuanian approach here in my class because we're studying all these opinions. Okay. Rabbeinu Yonah writes. You see on the right hand side, mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Yonah is going to quote. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't actually write this commentary; his students wrote it, and they're going to quote two opinions: one that they heard. And one that they heard from Rabbeinu Yonah. One that they heard from others, and one that they heard from Rabbeinu Yonah himself. First, you know, the bold is just quoting the Gemara, what Rav Sheshet used to do, that he used to learn during the Torah reading. Katav harif b'shem ha-geonim de-davka Rav Sheshet she-torato umanuto. Aval ha-od le-adam acher asur. First, they quote the Rif, right? That only Rav Sheshet was allowed to do it. Ve-it de-mefarshim. It means yesh. There are others who explain. De davka Rav Sheshet haya mutar Mipnei Shaya Saginaho. Only Rav Sheshit was allowed to do it because he was blind. He was allowed to learn Torah during the Torah reading because he was blind. Why?
Velo haya mechuyav bekriat haTorah. Tedvarim shenitnu bichtav, I ata yachol leomran alpe.
There's a special rule that there's Torah shebichtav and Torah shebealpe. Torah shebichtav is the written Torah. If you are blind, can you read the written Torah? No. So, and there's a special rule that anything that's written may not be done not written. It can't be done by heart. It can't be done orally. So since he himself was blind and therefore could not participate in the Torah reading, he was actually exempt from the Torah reading. So everybody else, they have to listen to the Torah reading, but he is not in the category of someone who's obligated in the Torah reading, because once he's blind and he's outside of that, he can't participate.
Aval adam acher shoe,
somebody else who sees, v'chayav bikriyat haTorah, is therefore obligated in the Torah reading.
Asur lesaper v'afilu shetorato umanoto,
not allowed to talk, even if he's a professional Torah learner, even if that's his full time occupation.
But why are they conflating talking and
they assume that the talking and studying is the same thing. That's what they assume the whole time.
So that when Rav Sheshet says that, I do what I do and you do what you do, he's talking?
He's not paying attention to the Torah reading. And he's studying Torah. He was learning Torah, oral Torah. Presumably that's verbal. Maybe he was talking to somebody else. Maybe he was talking to himself. It was not done just in his head. Presumably. Okay.
V'nir'eh,
you see in the next paragraph, v'nir'eh. So that's opinion number three, right? We've seen now three opinions. Now we're going to see number four.
V'nir'eh lemori harav,
it seems to our teacher, Rabbeinu Yonah,
she'im kodem,
this is an amazing opinion, she'im kodem
she'niftach sefer Torah chozer panav.
If before the sefer Torah is opened, you turn your face away.
U'mar'eh atzmo, she'ino rotze lishmoa sefer Torah.
And you show that you don't want to listen to the Torah reading.
Ela likro,
but you want to read. U'matchil
likro,
and you start to read. Before the Torah reading starts,
mutar,
it's permitted.
Va'afilu lechol adam,
even to anybody. Meaning, it's not that you're not allowed to talk, or it's not about being blind, or whatever it is. If the Torah is being read, and you start reading, it's disrespectful to the Torah. So what does he do? If you remember, Rav Sheshet didn't just used to learn. Hu mahader apav vegaris. He used to turn his face and learn. So Rabbi Yonah Yonah says, you know when he turned his face? Before the Torah reading started. He showed before the Torah reading, when I read, I'm not disrespecting the Torah reading. I am doing this before the Torah reading starts. So when the Torah reading starts, I'm not part of the group that's involved in the Torah reading. Okay? That's what he's going to say now.
וכיוון שכבר התחיל במצווה מתחילה,
since he already started with a mitzvah, which is learning Torah. Learning is also a mitzvah. And we know, העוסק במצווה פטור מן המצווה. If you're doing a mitzvah, you're exempt from doing a different mitzvah. You only have to do one mitzvah at a time. And there are certain mitzvot that you have to stop for, like davening, you have to stop for. You can't say, you know, otherwise somebody learns in a yeshiva, they say, well, I'm always exempt from davening. I'm learning, so I don't have to daven shachar. I don't have to daven mincha, because I'm learning. Tefillah is not one of those mitzvot. But he was already learning.
V'ra'u oto anshei beit ha-knesset,
and the people in shul saw him, that he was shekavatz malikro, that he was already reading. People in the shul looked. They don't think he's disrespecting the Torah. They saw that he was already reading.
Eino posek ba ba'avur sefer Torah.
So he doesn't have to stop reading for the sefer Torah.
Aval, im lo itchil mitchila.
But if he didn't start reading before the Torah reading started.
Ein leshum adam. Afilu mi shetorato umanuto lesaper beshum inyan klal. Achar kach.
Then you're not allowed to talk about anything at all. Anybody, even if it's Torah, even if your professional occupation is to study Torah, you're not allowed to learn Torah. It has to be something that you started doing before the Torah reading began, because anything else is a sign of disrespect to the Torah. Okay? So let's sum up what we've seen so far. We've seen four resolutions. We saw the riff, that if it's your professional occupation, you're exempt, and so you don't have to listen. We saw the Bahag, quoted by the riff, that if there's 10 others listening, you don't have to listen. We saw the other rabbis that the students of Rabbeinu Yonah heard, who said that it's because Rav Sheshit was blind, so he was not obligated to listen to Torah reading because he was blind. And we saw Rabbeinu Yonah himself, who said it was because he started reading before the Torah reading started. So he showed everybody that he's not disrespecting the Torah, he's doing something else. That is a very close reading of the line of the Gemara, because the line of the Gemara said, Mehader ape vigaris, he turned his face and read, I'm doing my thing and they're doing theirs. Meaning, I'm doing my thing, I'm involved in something that I've already started doing, and they're doing their thing. They can do whatever they want to do, read the Torah. I think that's a very good close. I think that interpretation of Rabbeinu Yonah is a very good close read of every word in the Gemara that Rav Sheshit did. I think it's a sharper read than the other resolutions we've seen. The other resolutions we've seen don't necessarily explain everything Rav Sheshit did, but the Gemara specifically went out of its way to tell us Rav Sheshit turned his face and he read and he said, "I'm doing my thing; they're doing their thing." What does that all mean? Rabbeinu Yonah explains what all those things mean. We're going to see some more resolutions, I promised. Promised a lot of resolutions. Okay, go back to page 4. You see the Tosfot I marked off on page 4 on the top left? Okay.
Is this the Monday and Thursday thing? The Tosfot? But I know Tosfot, just going back to Monday and Thursday, I think there's this Tosfot that said, Monday Moshe ascended.
That's not this Tosfot. Okay. Yeah. We're still on the same topic, trying to resolve this contradiction. Okay? Rav Sheshet. Mehader apei vigaris. Now this is our Gemara in Brachot, where Rav Sheshet did his thing. Now they ask. You see the first words in Rashi script? Aleph Tav means ve'im tomar, if you ask. So one of the ways that they introduce the question. Ve'im tomar, ve'ha amrinan besota. We say in Tractate Sota, "May dechidiv uchefotcho amdu kol ha'am, shekeivan sheniftach sefer Torah asur lesaper afilu bidvar halacha." The Gemara in Tractate Sota derives from the verse in Nehemiah that when they opened the Torah, everybody stood and was silent. That you're not allowed to talk the minute they open up the Sefer Torah. Ve'yesh lomar. Here's my answer. Yesh lomar means you can answer the following. Hatam, there, Airi Bekol Ram. This is Mitch's original answer. Hatam Airi Bekol Ram. What's Kol Ram?
Big voice.
A loud voice. Kedei Shelo Yevatlu Kol Kriyat HaTorah. So you don't nullify the sound of the Torah reading. Vehacha Airi Benachat. But here he's being quiet when he's learning Torah. Meaning, the first explanation the Tosfot says is that loud, you're not allowed to do it. Softly, you're allowed to do it. If you're being very quiet, it's permitted. They make no distinction between a Torah scholar and a regular person. They make no distinction between a blind. So long as you're being quiet, right, it's about respect. It's kind of similar to Rabbeinu Yonah. It's about respecting the Torah. And so long as you are benachat and not bekol ram, should be allowed. So why does he turn his face? Veha dekemaha derapei. Rabuta mashma. The fact that he turned his face teaches us something extra. Rabuta means something extra. Af al gav de mahader apei shenira kemeniach sefer Torah shapir dami. Teaches us something extra, and that is that that even though he's turning his face and it looks like he's disrespecting the Sefer Torah. Because remember, the Tosfot said it's about being loud or being soft, and that's about respecting the Sefer Torah. Even though he's turning his face, and you might think, that looks like he is disrespecting the Sefer Torah. Even though that's what he's doing, it's still okay. So why is he turning his face? He's turning his face so he can study more, concentrate more on his studies. It'd be very hard to concentrate if he looked at the Torah and tried to read at the same time. Turning his face, and even that's permitted. Even that's permitted. And then he goes on to quote what the Rif said. Right, Varav Alfas, see what says Varav Alfas? Varav Alfas is Rabbi Yitzchak Alfas. The Rif, and he quotes, we don't have to read it now, but he quotes exactly what we read in the Rif. So now we just read a fifth explanation. That if it's loud, it's not allowed. If it's quiet, it is allowed. That's explanation number five. There's another Tosfot here. Page 3, I marked it off also. So the original passage in Tractate Sotah also says something, but, 1 second. So they don't add anything here. They just quote more of the same ones. They quote Rabbeinu Yonah's idea that if you turn your face before the Torah reading, it's okay. They quote that he's blind, it's okay. They quote a number of different responses. Okay, good, I see it over here. Great. So five resolutions, right? Let's just sum them up. Okay. One, if you're a professional Torah scholar, you have a special exemption. That means that everybody else has to listen. But if you're a Torah scholar, that's your full-time occupation, you're allowed to. Two, if there are 10 others listening, you don't have to listen, as long as there's a minyan listening. Three, a blind person is exempt from the mitzvah of Torah reading because they can't read, and so therefore it's Torah Shebichtav, it has to be read, it can't be done orally. Four, if you turn your face before the Torah reading even begins, if you show that you're not part of the Torah reading group, then it's okay because it's about respect for the Torah. And five, if you're quiet and not loud, it's also permitted to study, to read instead of that. So each one of those on its own, this is where the real lundus, this is lundus, okay? Each one of those on its own is a resolution to the contradiction. You can accept it or reject it. But I'd like to suggest that really there are two different ways that all of these commentaries are viewing the mitzvah of Torah reading. And depending on which one of those ways they view it, they will resolve the contradiction differently. And I'll show you those two ways. First way is on the second to last page, on page 7. On page 7 at the bottom, I want to finish the class, so we're not going to do this. Page 7 at the bottom, the Chafetz Chaim writes, in the Biur HaLacha, you can read it on your own, there's dots in this one also. Biur HaLacha writes, and he writes what Stan said earlier, that Torah reading is a public mitzvah. There's a communal mitzvah to have a Torah reading, but there is no individual personal mitzvah for everybody to listen to the Torah. Others disagreed. Take a look at page 8. Maimonides actually disagreed, and Reb Chaim of Brisk disagreed, and Reb Soloveitchik used to follow this. This is from Reb Herschel Schechter's book called Nefesh HaRav, in which he spoke about Reb Soloveitchik. It was a whole book about Reb Soloveitchik's teachings from Reb Soloveitchik. And one of them, he writes, Kama pa'ami mir'a sherabeinu nasa mi Boston. Many times it happened that a rabbi came from Boston to the yeshiva on Monday, and he couldn't listen to the Torah reading in Boston before he left on his flight to come to New York. So at Mincha that day on Monday, he would ask around if there were 9 others besides him who haven't heard the Torah reading yet. And if there were, he would do the Monday Torah reading at Mincha. Like a fast day. On a fast day, we read Torah at Mincha. And he would have a Torah reading at Mincha. Because he held, like Soloveitchik held, like Reb Chaim, that it's a person. He personally has to hear a Torah reading. Now, if there isn't a minyan of people who haven't heard the Torah reading, he can't do it. Luckily, in yeshiva, it's not uncommon to find 10 men who haven't gone to minyan that morning. You might think that's ironic, but it's not ironic. It's the reality of yeshiva. You know, people...
sleep in.
People are in college. They sleep in until it's time to go and learn. Every yeshiva that I attended, there were many more people learning in the yeshiva than at minyan in the morning. So it's not an uncommon thing. But he would ask if there were 10 who did not hear the Torah reading that morning. And if there were, he would have like a mincha Torah reading to make sure that he heard it personally. And Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, I know, followed the same practice. I have friends who went to his yeshiva. And sometimes Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein would come to America for fundraising or to give classes or whatever. And it would be like it was earlier this year, where our Torah reading is ahead of Israel's Torah reading. And he would miss one of the parshas. When he would come back to Israel, he would ask the Torah reader to read him the parsha from the whoever had Torah in the yeshiva that Shabbos. He would ask him to read the Torah that week. So there's actually there's a big debate as to whether Torah reading is a communal public mitzvah or a private mitzvah. And how you understand the problem of Rav Sheshet and the Gemara and Masechet Sota, where you are not allowed to talk during Torah reading, will completely hinge on that view of how you view Torah reading. So now let's see. We saw the Rif, who thought that everybody had an individual obligation to read Torah. You only had a special exemption if you were a Torah scholar. The mitzvah doesn't apply to you if your full-time occupation is learning Torah. The assumption is you already know the Torah reading very well. You don't, you know, it's not, you know, you could easily make a justification because somebody whose full-time profession is to learn Torah has not gone 3 days without hearing Torah. So the whole thing wouldn't apply to him. But everybody else has to listen to the Torah reading. That's the Rif. The Bahag's opinion is that it's a communal mitzvah. If there's a minyan listening, then the community is having a Torah reading, and you can do it. You could do your own studies. You could read whatever you want to read. Mm-hmm. The other rabbis in Rabbeinu Yonah's day, they felt it was also a personal mitzvah. Everybody has to listen to Torah reading. If you're blind, you don't have the obligation. If you're blind, you can't. There's no Torah reading for you. But everybody has to listen to Torah reading. Rabbeinu Yonah himself disagreed with that. Rabbeinu Yonah said, so long as you are studying from before the Torah reading even begins, then you turned away, and everybody else, the community's having a Torah reading, and you do your thing. I do my, and obviously the Tosfot thought the same thing, because they said, so long as it's not loud, if you're quiet, it's okay, you're not disrupting the Torah reading. I'd like to suggest, now this is here, this is a little step further. If you go back to the Gemara and Sota on page 3, you may recall that there was a debate among the Amoraim as to which verse in Nehemiah we derive the fact, from which verse in Nehemiah do we derive that you have to not talk during the Torah reading. Rabbah, I'd like to suggest that that debate hinges upon this as well. The first one, Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, he got it from Uchefotcho Amdu Kol Ha'am. When they opened up the Torah, everybody stood up and was silent. Based on that verse, why does it sound like they stood up and were silent? Why?
Because they needed to fill something for themselves.
I would say the alternative. I would say because they respect. They're why you open it up, they stood up. It's nothing about reading, nothing about listening. When they opened it up, they stood up and were silent. When the army general comes in, the soldiers stand up and they're silent at attention, out of respect for the Torah. But the other verse, Rabbi Zeira, he said it's Ve'oznei kol ha'am el sefer ha-Torah. Everybody's ears were towards the Sefer Torah. Each individual's ears, kol ha'am, all the ears were towards the Torah, meaning listening to the Torah to fulfill their own personal obligation. This really begins our whole study of the whole mitzvah of hearing Torah. It's all going to be colored by which view do you take. We're going to see a lot of laws about Torah reading, but it makes a big difference whether you think it's a communal mitzvah or whether it's a private mitzvah. The fact is that in terms of halacha, most people assume that it's a communal mitzvah, like it's said in the Mishnah Berurah, and that it's not a private individual mitzvah. There are people who have personal practices, like Rav Soloveitchik did and Rabbi Lichtenstein did, to take on a personal obligation. But the vast majority of people, I think, assume that it's a communal obligation.